So good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are live again on a Sunday morning here in the UK. I normally say in London, actually. I'm in the far southwest of the UK in Cornwall, sitting in the railway station car park, which is the place that I can get good internet coverage here. And I want to welcome you, Lizzie, and me, but also everyone, all of you who are here with us. You might be live on Facebook, you might be on our podcast, you might be watching us later on Instagram or on our lovely turningtowards.life website. Welcome all of you as we embark on another week of this practice of bringing a source that can launch us off into a deepening conversation.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Justin. Justin, I just got slight hysterics at the fact that you're sitting in the passenger seat of your own car. It's just something quite metaphorical. So anyway, Justin, thank you for driving around and finding a spot. I've done it myself, as you know, before, and it is quite something to try and kind of monitor the 4G and what it's like as you're going along to find an area. So thank you for doing that, and you'll have to forgive me if I snigger a bit as we go. Oh dear. So we have this source this week by a philosopher called M.F. Sciacca, I think that's how you say it. And we're going to read, and as Justin said, see where it takes us. So here we go. To communicate is to enter the other while watching ourselves carefully. To enter without usurping. To usurp the other is to annul them, to prevent them from returning the gift. It is the refusal to accept their discreet word. It is to violate his inner home without allowing him to enter ours. It is the arrogance of someone who believes themselves to be an entirely fecundating force and refuses to receive. The univocal gift without reciprocity is not communication, but violation.
Thank you, Lizzie. Lizzie, I need to check that you can still hear me because the internet is not as good as I was expecting.
I can.
Good. Okay. Excellent. So that means that other people will be able to hear me as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this slowly because the language is stretching and powerful as well. To communicate is to enter the other while watching ourselves carefully, to enter without usurping. To usurp the other is to annul them, to prevent them from returning the gift. It is the refusal to accept their discreet word. It is to violate their inner home without allowing them to enter ours. It is the arrogance of someone who believes themselves to be an entirely fecundating force and refuses to receive. The univocal gift without reciprocity is not communication, but violation.
Thanks, Justin. So both when I was reading and when you were reading, the piece of this small paragraph that really got me was the first line, which is to communicate is to enter the other while watching ourselves carefully. Like somehow I really need that sentence to exist in the world. I feel like I've both been the speaker who doesn't listen to myself, watch myself carefully, and I've also been communicated with a lot where people aren't watching themselves carefully. And the fact that there's this very bold thing going on here, which is that M.F. Sciacca is saying that when we don't do this, it's not actually communication. So when I'm not watching myself carefully, as I come to you with something, as I speak to you, if I'm not also in contact here with what's happening with me, this isn't, that's not communication. It's a violation. And he's calling it, at the end, he says, a univocal gift. So as in, if I'm the only one involved in the communication, because I'm speaking to you without watching myself carefully, if it's only one way, it's actually not communication. There's nothing actually happening that is of significance in terms of communication. So I feel like this is a really big missing piece of our understanding of how we speak and how we listen, is that as I'm speaking to you, you're not the only focus that I need to have. It's like, I really, really need to be focused on myself as well. I need to be feeling myself. I need to be watching myself carefully as I'm speaking with you. Otherwise, all I'm doing is violating you. I mean, it's a really bold statement, isn't it? But it feels really like illuminating to me.
Yeah, I think it's true. And when you were reading, Lizzie, and as you've been talking, I've been very aware of the times when I've fallen on the violating side of this pairing. Gosh, I can think of so many times, and I know what it feels like. Well, I think one of the things that this piece of writing awakens me to is that I don't always know what it feels like, and that's the thing to watch. Because I was going to say, I know what it feels like to be the one who does this, and then I want to say, and I suspect that there are many times that I've done this without knowing that that's what I was doing. So, but the part that I know about is I've known those times when I've so wanted somebody else to get what I had to say. I've so wanted to get something across or convince somebody or show somebody my own situation or my own suffering or be in charge or be right. But I have had scant interest in what's going on in the other person, apart from relieving myself of the feeling of urgency that I needed to get something across. And I can, I suppose, in the more extreme forms of this, and I'm someone who takes care of how I speak to people. I want to take care of how I speak to people, and all the times when I've just wanted to get, my intent has been to get the person I'm speaking to get you to agree with me, to get you to believe me, to get you to be in line with me, to get you to do what I want. And what I appreciate about this piece of writing is its honesty. That sometimes we speak like that, and it would be wrong to call it communication. Like, can we be honest about what that is when we do it? I am just trying to get you to shift something in you so that you're on my side or in my world.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just trying to feel better that I've said the thing I'm going to say. And that communication is reciprocity.
Yeah.
That communication requires this giving up. There's so much language in here that I love, giving up our belief that we are the only one here, had to think, find out what fecundating force meant, but the only one here who has some life giving, something to give here. Yeah. And that we have to, in order to communicate with one another, we have to be willing to receive. That's the move. And then just to loop back to where you started, Lizzie, and that's the watching ourselves carefully. So what is it? Because we can watch ourselves in all kinds of ways. I can watch myself to feel, am I being articulate, or am I being powerful, or am I being convincing, or am I feeling good about myself, or do you like me? Or, you know, I could. But I think what we're being asked to do here is to pay really, really sensitive attention to what's going on with me whilst I speak with you? Am I willing to be the one who receives, who is changed by my encounter with you? Or am I just trying to change you by my speaking? And that's the thing that we have to watch ourselves for. Because I can watch you. I mean, it seems like it's an act of care and responsibility, and maybe also an act of power to watch you and sort of see how's this going. But to watch ourselves and see if we're really willing to make ourselves open and available and vulnerable to being changed by what's happening with you whilst I speak. And also, like, can I receive from you even while I speak?
Yeah.
And then can I receive from you when you speak? And without self, without paying attention to ourselves, that we can't know that we're up to that.
Yeah. Gosh, it's so interesting. What's occurring to me now is that it's impossible for me to know what's going on with you without me watching myself. Like, if there were to be kind of like linear about it, if I was watching you, surely I would know everything that was going on with you. But what I'm seeing from what you just said is that unless I'm in contact with myself, I can't see what's going on with you at all. Like, that's the thing that gives, is the gateway to me even feeling you, is feeling me. So I can't reach for you out there and know anything about you and feel anything about you unless I'm right here with myself. And to be in contact, to be watching myself carefully, as this passage says, for me means like self-contact, self-presence, like appreciating my own state, appreciating my own sense or my sensations or my emotions and my thoughts. Being in contact with that is the thing that allows me to be in contact with you. And it's inside of that is this line as well, the refusal to accept your discrete word. Like, for me, that means that you're speaking all the time. Like right now, you're speaking, even though the sound is coming. There's something happening with you. And I can tell that. And I'm receiving you. And also generating language through my experiencing and my listening. But at not one moment am I feeling separate from you, like cut off from you, like I'm not sensing you. So it feels like this reciprocity both goes between you and I, but it's also happening inside of me as well. So I'm receiving myself, which means I can receive you. And that in the communication, like as we commune together, that reciprocity is both somewhere in me in relationship to myself. Like I can hear myself, I can sense myself. And that gives me permission to be, or not permission, but it facilitates the connection with you, that I'm in receipt of you at the same time as speaking. So we're not doing this so that, oh, right, now it's my turn, now it's your turn, now it's my turn, now it's your turn, and kind of ignoring each other while each other's speaking. We're seeing what happens when we receive each other. And then in that receipt, something else comes. But none of that's possible until I'm in receipt of myself.
First of all, I'm smiling because This is what we've been practicing all these weeks. So the nature of this conversation is to practice letting ourselves be affected by ourselves and one another. And as you've been speaking, Lizzie, I've been really noticing these words from the source here about entering. It's very intimate language. To enter one another. And it's the opposite of, I was sort of feeling my way into different metaphors about this. It's the opposite of me standing over here and you standing over there, and somehow we're sending things from here to there. You know, I'll send something over to you and something, or wait to see what happens. To be really intimate with another person, and in all the different, I'm thinking of all the different kinds of human intimacy there are. To be properly intimate means exactly what you were saying, which means being able to receive ourselves so that we can continue to allow ourselves to receive the other. They're really deeply connected with one another. The moment I close off my own heart, my own body, my own sense of myself, I'm also closing off the possibility that I have to allow myself to receive you. And to be properly intimate in conversation, and I can see that this applies not only in those conversations that are the most intimate, but just if we're going to take care of one another in communication, if we're going to hear one another, is that it's hearing and feeling ourselves and one another. And the moves that we make, at least if I talk about myself, the thing I can feel in myself is, oh yeah, that's right, all those times I've been so desperate to get myself heard or to get my way, that what I'll do is I'll close off my own feeling of myself, so I can't tell how forceful I'm being or how I'm not impacted so much by how insistent I'm being or how getting my own way I'm being. If I can start to receive that from myself, then one of the things I can start to go is to feel. It seems to me that in a way, even if this is in a conversation with someone that we don't know very well, this is really about tenderness. Can we be tender enough? Can we allow ourselves to feel enough that we've got a chance of really being reached by the other? But also where that takes me is, and this really came for me whilst you were speaking, Lizzie, is that to enter one another is to do what we can to be not separate.
Yeah.
Is to not take it that we're somehow hurling language across a void to one another. What it is, it's the commitment to let ourselves intermingle with one another so that we can really be deeply, deeply affected by one another. And that's where there's also the possibility that we might be changed by the conversation with someone else. I might feel very insistent, but I might let myself be undone by feeling what it's like to be me and do my best to feel what it's like to be with you whilst we're talking.
Yeah. As you're speaking, Justin, all those things feel so safe to me. You know, to enter into communication with another person and to feel like they're willing to be changed by me and I'm willing to be changed by them is so safe making. Like, I feel like, oh, I could really bring myself. You know, if someone's really willing to be affected by me, what I have permission to bring is so different than if I know that I'm probably gonna maybe eke out something of a little acknowledgement from you, you know, at best. Then I think, oh, okay, I'm just going to bring what I, you know, I'm only going to bring the things that this point, you know, I'm going to pick my battles, you know what I mean? I'm just going to kind of hedge my bets on the thing that might. But then when you say that, I can feel myself going, oh, I could bring anything then, you know, I could really feel like what what I have to say might be important. And if it was important and it would be listened to, it opens a whole different kind of world of possibility for me, feeling like I'm welcome, feeling like I have a place here. So to listen to one another in this way where we're taking account of our own self-contact, our own capacity to truly be in reciprocity, feels like this is how we make the world safe for everyone around us and each other, and include ourselves in, you know, as ones who also need to feel safe. And so I feel really moved by the thing you said about allowing ourselves to be tender around one another, allowing ourselves to be moved, allowing ourselves to be affected. And in a way, none of that's also possible without me being in contact with myself. To even know my tenderness in the presence of what you say, I'd not only have to be listening to your words, but I'd have to be feeling, I'd have to be sensing, I'd have to be consciously softening myself so that I'm giving permission for whatever you're saying, however you're being, to enter me. So my ears now feel like a very small part of the equation. And all of a sudden my body feels like, oh, I think that's where all of this might be happening. Of course, there's a way that I can listen to your words, which is such a powerful sense of mine. I can also see you with my eyes, and I can sense you with my body, and I can feel you with my feeling center. And what is it to practice opening and giving permission in all those places, so that when we're in conversation, it's a full-bodied conversation, it's a full-bodied commune that allows us to sense into and open into and use all those different parts of us to open, to soften, to welcome. And when one part of us might be saying, oh, no, that's not welcome, we've got all these other parts that we can rely on to kind of bring into the picture. It's like, yes, my thinking might be disagreeing with you now, but what might I be able to do to open to other parts of you? Like, how are you feeling as you say this? How come this is important to you? What can I sense about what's underneath what you're saying? And how might that allow me to ask another question or seek for deeper understanding or something? It feels like a really big invitation, a big full-bodied, I'm bringing my whole system here rather than just my capacity to hear sounds and interpret words and make meaning of them.
Yeah, it's very lovely. I'm just feeling myself soften as you're saying that, Lizzie. And this paying attention to parts of ourselves. Also, so I'm really with you with this is a body practice. Like, how do we not violate one another unless we're really paying attention to the bodily experience of it? It's not just about the content of the words. When we soften enough to pay attention to what's going on with us, we can often feel, I can feel if I'm being too forceful, but I can also feel what's going on with you by what's going on with me, because we're not separate from one another. And it struck me whilst you were talking that a couple of things, again, if what we want is communication rather than violation, that's what we're, you know, of course there are all these other ways of speaking, but if that's what we want, seems to me that slowing down is really important. Mm-hmm. Not being in a hurry, because at least for me, I don't always know immediately what it is that's going on with me. I have to pay some attention. If I want to be in receipt of me and of you, I've got to not rush and not just jump to some kind of, you know, one of the things that might happen is you might say something to me and it might, some defensive, protective part in me might come up. And then what I might want to do is to defend myself or push back or something. And if I don't rush into that, and I can go, oh, be curious and interested in what's happening here, I can feel much more of what's happening with me and what's much more of what's happening with you in the process. Yeah. So our the pace at which so many things happen in our lives often works against that. And it can really help, you know, like we're doing with this conversation, to not interrupt one another and to not rush in and all of those kind of things. So slowing down is one part of it. The other part of it that came up for me whilst you were talking about safety before. And it seems to me that the one of the reasons why we have to do this watching ourselves that we're invited to do here in this source is because to make safety is to know when safety's been ruptured and then to do something to repair it.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to have a real conversation with one another, not just a sort of a nice conversation with one another, it might be a loving conversation or a conversation about some things that are going on for us or whatever it is, but we both need to feel when something has become unsafe, when it's been too much, it's been too sharp, it's been too impactful, it's been whatever it is, and then, or where we broke connection, and then to make repair moves to say, what happened, Lizzie, when I said that? Was that too much for you? Or I'm sorry, I said that, I said that clumsily. Can I come back and have another go?
Yeah.
Saying this another way, or could you tell me what happened when I said that? I really wanted to say this part to you. Could you let me know what happened for you when I said that? Oh gosh, that was painful for you. I'm sorry. Here's another way I might say it. All of those moves that we could make to keep on repairing the ground of safety, so that whatever it is, that might be a conversation about loving one another, or it might be a conversation about our disappointments, or it might be a request, all of it has safe ground to land on.
Yeah.
And I got struck how much of that safety, how little of that safety comes if we're not doing what we're invited to do here, if we're not paying attention to the bodily aspect of this, if we're not paying attention to the things that arise in us as a way of knowing one another. We can only create a sort of false safety where you and I only get to talk about very trivial things because it's the only safe space, very, very small. Or we create unsafety in which we end up violating one another. But there's a way, 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 way bigger space of communication, which is both where it's safe enough to talk about things that are difficult to talk about, as well as to talk about things that are easy to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got me reflecting as you're talking, Justin, about all of the times I or someone else really genuinely hasn't seen the impact that they've had on another person. You know, oh my God, I had no idea that that's what happened. I mean, I had no idea you were upset. I had no idea that that hurt you or whatever. And it's really possible to completely miss that when we're not in contact with ourselves, when we are usurping, when we are being violent towards one another in the way we communicate, it's entirely possible to entirely miss the impact that we're having on other people. So we can completely be oblivious to what happened, because I wasn't really feeling you, because I wasn't really feeling myself. It's completely possible to just not know what's actually going on. I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it? What's going on with you is what's going on. It's what's happening. And it's possible that all of us can be completely shut off from knowing what's going on. And somehow in the moment, that feels like quite something. You know, we think we're watching, we think we're seeing. And if there isn't sufficient contact with oneself and other people, it's completely possible that we just don't have a clue. We're completely blind to what's actually happening, which is that someone's reacting a certain way or even saying certain things. I think we also have the capacity literally to not hear the things that we don't want to hear on some level, because it goes against something that we think or some, you know, whatever. And I feel in this moment quite like my eyes feel very open to all the times that I just haven't seen what's going on with other people, haven't noticed. And if I look at just even this weekend of some things that have happened, I can feel that the times I didn't know what was going on that got brought to my attention, I wasn't in contact with myself at all. It's really easy to connect that for me in this moment, that, oh, when I'm missing things, when I'm missing people, like, as in it's like a ships in the night moment between me and someone, is because I'm not there. I'm not doing what is suggested in this piece of writing, which is I'm not watching myself carefully, and I'm not in the reciprocity way. It's like I've kind of shut down and I'm just focused on myself, and that's all I can handle in the moment, which is also really understandable. And I can find deep compassion for myself that that's how I am sometimes. But this is about communication. And if we're in the game of communicating, communing with one another, I feel so glad that this super bold statement of what it really means is out there and in my system, that I can really feel into what that means. It's very, very beautiful.
My last thing, Lizzie, I'm having my eyes drawn towards the last sentence here about gifts. That what underlies all of this, if we're willing, and like you said, we can't always do this. We don't always find ourselves able. But to what happens when we can orient towards ourselves and one another as gift givers, even in the tricky spots. As of course, let me feel my own goodness and my own wish to bring some kind of gift into the situation, but let me not in the process close myself off to all the gifts that you have to bring, whether they're gifts I want or like or not. But can I treat what happens between us as an ongoing exchange of gifts and wonder what the gift is inside each part of it? Sort of undoes the conversation as combat, conversation as domination. So, and enters us into conversation as discovery of something that's growing here. And that's the intimate possibility that I think we're being invited to with this very powerful language.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Justin. This has been really, really lovely. Thank you for, as always, entering into the unknown with me. And thank you for finding a spot in your car in Penzance Station. And thank you for sitting in the passenger seat where you can put your laptop on the dashboard. And we will be back next week, where I think both of us might be in some kind of train car park. We'll see what happens. But thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for being with us as always. And please feel free to email us, and our new email address is Lizzie@justin@turningtowards.life. We'd be absolutely thrilled to hear from you as always. And we'll come back next week and be live again here at 9 a.m. on Sunday UK time.
We will. Bye-bye.